Welcome to Small Bites Radio with Donato Marino and Derek Tim. We hope you're hungry.
Raw spaghetti you can eat with a spoon.
Hit it.
Where's the beef?
Cookie.
He likes it.
No soup for you. No soup for you. No soup for you.
Feed me more.
As long as I can have you here with me, I'd much rather be forever in blue jeans, babe.
Welcome, everybody, to... Where we at?
You know, don't ask me. I've been in six states.
Wildfire Radio, Small Bites. I'm Donato Marino with DNL, Bean and Barista Service. I missed you when you were on vacation.
Well, I mean, I'm here. Like I said, I mean, I traveled six states to get back to you just for today. Don, and even you know, I mean, it's only going to be a short jaunt in New Jersey, and then I'm back out. But when there's a date that I can come hang out with you, I certainly come.
I'm glad I'm that important to you.
Exactly. I'll go over the moon to get to you, my friend.
To the moon, Alex.
But I'm Derek Tim of BlueJeanFood.com. This is Small Bites Radio, as Don was about to say, but forgot where we were. And we have to start things off like we always do with our buddy, John Howard.
Bushko.
There we go. How's it going tonight, John?
Hey, guys. How are we doing this evening?
We're doing great. How about you, my friend?
Doing all right. Hanging in there. Well, Derek, I know you've been traveling a lot, but I'm going to take you on a little trip over to your old neck of the woods in Kensington, okay?
All right.
We'll talk about a couple places. We'll talk about places opening over there, which is of interesting note. I want to talk about Stryver's Row.
Oh, I thought you were talking about trying to get your drugs on wholesale prices, but this is good news of Kensington.
This is good stuff. No, okay. This is really good stuff. So the new distillery that opened up on the 5th called Stryver's Row. According to Billy Penn, it's the only Latino-owned distillery in the city and probably one of the very few Latino-owned distilleries in the country. And at only 200 square feet in space size, they're calling this the smallest distillery in the country. Currently, the Stryver's Row is offering a white corn whiskey and a single malt called Papa Juan. So again, that's Stryver's Row in Kensington. And we're going to stay in Kensington because there's a dairy opening there. You're saying a dairy? Yes, I said a dairy. Perrystead Dairy is a new maker producing cheeses, yogurt, and kefir that will be available this spring, according to Eater Philly. The dairy is using only local Pennsylvania milk to make its products. And this dairy is joining a growing number of food makers who have moved into Kensington, turning old warehouses and industrial spaces into new productive ventures. They're looking to start a weekly maker's market in front of the dairy's location on Hancock Street sometime later this spring. So look for that. Again, that's Perrystead Dairy operating in Kensington. Visit Philly wanted to remind all of us that there are a number of restaurant weeks that are coming up this spring. Northern Liberties is having its restaurant week that just started now, and it's running through the 18th. King of Prussia Restaurant Week will be starting today, the 11th, and running through the 15th. And then they'll be doing another one the following week from the 18th to the 22nd. Caribbean Restaurant Week in Philly is going on from the 17th to the 24th. And Restaurant Week out in Media will be starting from the 18th and running through April 30th. Now, I didn't know this, guys. Were you aware that we were having a ketchup shortage? Have you ever heard anything of this?
I did hear that we're having not a ketchup shortage, but a ketchup package shortage. Am I correct there?
Yes. Yes, that is correct. This was from a Wall Street Journal article this week talking about there's been a shortage because of the increased use of ketchup packages because of COVID. So there is actually a shortage. But not to worry, because according to an article in Philly Voice, Heinz says that it's doing everything it can to increase production. Heinz, of course, based out of Pittsburgh, so they have 70% of the market of share for ketchup. So if they're saying they're going to increase production, no need to worry there, guys. I think we'll make it through the ketchup shortage. So,
I think they should just put them in big tubs, and we'll just put our fingers in and smear it on whatever we need.
Exactly.
No, I mean, if this COVID didn't kill us, what a little finger in the ketchup? Yeah. Well, there you go. But
all right, guys. So follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Eating As Jersey, as well as follow me on South Jersey Food Scene website and Facebook page for more information.
Thank you, sir. It's always a joy to talk to you, and we always appreciate the wealth of knowledge that you share with us. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, John.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
I always love talking to John.
I do.
But you know who we're going to love to talk to next?
Who's that?
We're going to love to talk to Chef Robbie Jester, and he is the chef partner of Full Circle Food and Great Big Jerk. And got to be careful when you say those together, because you could start it and saying Full Circle and, well.
It's a family show.
Exactly. So you got to make sure that you're reading the
pause.
Yeah, you take that pause and read the entire sentence. But how's it going tonight, Robbie?
It's going fantastic, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm sitting outside of Great Big Jerk as we speak, and you're not the first people to make that connection. So we do make sure that we express the pause in that one.
Was that on purpose, or was that just by coincidence?
Well, I say that Great Big Jerk was named after my business partner, but it was by pure coincidence.
It's funny how things can happen that way, but it at least makes it exciting and something to remember. Now, you grew up in a restaurant family. I mean, you mentioned you've done everything from scrubbing floors to working the line, and you've appeared on the Food Network multiple times. So why don't you tell us what it's been like working in the food industry? Because you know just as well as everyone else, Don, this last year, it's been a doozy.
We wear many hats.
So I think with it being in your blood, it's a little bit easier to battle through it. But why don't you describe and tell us about yourself, Chef Rob?
Yeah, so I'm Chef Robbie Jester. So I grew up in a restaurant family. I am a restaurant brat, as it would be. I think my first job was cleaning the toilets and the floors of my parents' sports bar in Newark, Delaware. I got paid with a roll of quarters, and little did I know that I loved to play the crane machine, so I would put all of my quarters into the crane machine, and my grandfather paid me with the same roll of quarters for a whole summer, so he got me for a whole summer.
Did you at least win anything out of the crane?
Oh, I won all kinds of stuff. It was a pain in the butt for the guy that had to stock the crane machine all the time. But yeah, I mean, you know, trinkets and stuff like that. I think with inflation, I'd rather have my $10 back.
But maybe they're antiques. You never know. Might be one of those dolls that you see on Antique Roadshow for like $1 million these days.
Yeah, I don't think we had any Beanie Babies or anything like that in the case. I think that would have been way nice for us. But yeah, so I grew up there. I started working at my parents had a seafood restaurant in Maryland. That's where I really started cooking and working the line. So I was, in good restaurant family fashion. You know, I was working that kitchen at 12 years old, so nice, illegally underage. I started working the line at 14. I started running that line at 15. We did steak and filet and lobster and crab cakes and crab imperial before I knew that they were even fancy, or at least perceived as fancy by most. I went to culinary school, graduated, came back to the state, worked in Wilmington, Tuscana. I catered then Vice President Biden's daughter's wedding, cooked for the King and Queen of Sweden. And I started working for a company called High Five Hospitality. I ran Stone Balloon in Newark, Limestone Barbecue and Bourbon, and Expectation. And I was there through the beginning of the pandemic. And, yeah, you just go into grind mode when you've been in this business your entire life. You go into grind mode and, like, guerrilla grassroots marketing mode. So we were going on Facebook. We were going on Instagram. We were having people reach out and actually having them help create the menus. We were printing weekly menus, naming them after people. And, you know, when something got stale a couple weeks in, you know, we would change the menu up again, and we really got people involved. The whole time I've had Full Circle Food, which is healthy home meal delivery. We serve Philadelphia all the way down to the Delaware beaches, a few counties in Maryland, and the south western portion of Jersey now.
So when you're saying healthy meal delivery, give us a breakdown of what that is, because obviously there's other players in the game like Blue Apron and other ones like that. But you're really taking it to the next level of preparing it and counting calories and things like that nature, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So ours are fully prepared. So unlike those other companies like Blue Apron, stuff like that, this is not a meal kit. It's fully prepared in the box. It's basically a fresh TV dinner, if you will. We put the nutrition counts on each one. Everything that we make is gluten-free and dairy-free, and it is 500 calories and under, wow, which I know sounds like it would taste like crap, but we really just try to use the best cooking techniques possible. We try to just balance everything out so it still tastes delicious. I eat the meals. I've lost a ton of weight. Not that you don't have to be losing weight to eat the meals. That doesn't have to be your goal, but I've lost a ton of weight. So it's subscription-based. It renews every single week, and we basically just show up at your house. We deliver the meals in an insulated cooler bag with ice packs. And each week we switch out the bag like the old school milkman.
That's awesome, because I love that concept. And one of the things that I just thought about when you mentioned it, because I haven't thought of these meal delivery services as a fancy TV dinner. Well, if you can take this idea from me and throw, because it sounds like you like to have new and changing themes, like you were saying about with the menu. What about this? Every week, since you called it a fancy TV dinner, every week you could have the fancy TV dinner and put like a show that you could binge watch for that week. Like this week's special, I guess I'm probably trademark issues, but like this week is orange is the new black, and every meal is like oranges or something black themed, and you can binge it. Would you like something like that, Don?
I think it'd be a great idea.
Trademark wise, probably have some problems.
Well, you know, make it orange is the new purple.
Yes, he just worded it.
Yeah, a little different.
Certainly. What do you think of that, Chef Robbie?
I love it. I love theme nights and stuff like that to begin with. And we are working at expanding. So all of Full Circle Food is healthy right now, but we are looking at expanding to maybe some more full calorie meals, doing some meat and cheese boards, stuff like that. Also some we've got great relationships with some farmers, so bringing like a CSA box or a farm box and delivering that with the meals as well. So, hey, I'm down for a not orange is the new black themed night.
Yeah, what about desserts or begin?
Yeah, maybe you could add a little coffee with the meal.
Oh, espresso.
The way you finish it. Espresso, a little portable espresso machine.
Oh, who would offer that, Don?
D&L Coffee Service.
Sounds like something we need to talk about off the air.
Yeah,
that sounds like a great idea. I think that would go perfectly from start to finish. I would love something like that. And it sounds like you're really starting to expand that line. So Full Circle Food, as it sounds, obviously the name goes the full circle, and you'll be covering that, and you and Don will talk about some more additional plans after the show. But why don't we talk a little bit about Great Big Jerk, because one of my favorite all-time foods is jerk chicken. Oh my good jerk chicken, Don. Oh my goodness,
I like jerk chicken, but it's too spicy for me.
No, Don.
I can only take so much spice.
No.
I mean, it tastes great.
A good jerk chicken, this is the way, because I'm not a spice person. I don't like spice for spice. But in my opinion, good jerk chicken, the spice is more of a perfect flavoring. Would you agree with my assessment, Chef Robbie?
Yeah, so for me, and I'm a guy who I can take the spice. I just don't enjoy a ton of spice. So to me, great jerk chicken is the spice is there. It's kind of like an underlying tone, but the rest of the spices and the flavor should really come out. It also should be grilled over real wood and charcoal. And that's traditional in Jamaica. They do a mix of wood and charcoal. It's usually pimento wood. We can't really get that here, so we're using local cherry wood, and we're kind of mimicking with some pimento wood chips, some allspice berries, and some bay leaves. But basically, we wanted to be able to use our kitchen where Full Circle is prepped all the days, not just the days that we were in there prepping meals. So we started a ghost kitchen concept with Great Big Jerk. It started out as delivery only through the app. And then quickly we had tons of people that wanted to show up and just pick up their meals in the area. So we started to allow pickup. Now we've added some picnic tables outside of our space. So we are just kind of adding to it as it goes along. But, it's crazy. We started that for less than $5,000, and it's projected to do $500,000 if it keeps up. And that's 4 days a week.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. It's really just, you know, a testament to we're kind of on a major artery. We're on this little road that goes from the city of Newark, Delaware, up into like Kennett Square and the little townships in PA. And there's really nothing out here. So people just, it's like the smokers by the side of the road. They can smell it. We've got a big blow up chicken on the side of the road. one of those air dancers, but it's a chicken. So it kind of like pulls them in and they laugh at it because they're not expecting it out here. And it's just doing fantastic, and we're steadily looking for a location for it. We want to add some things to the menu, maybe some ribs, maybe some pulled pork in the Jamaican style. But yeah, for us, the chicken is as authentic as we can possibly make it. We've asked as many people that are either from Jamaica or have made Jamaican jerk chicken. You know, we read all the books. We spent hundreds of dollars in books and videos. And my partner went to Jamaica, and the chicken is as authentic as we can make it in the U.S. right now. Even so much that we can't source the Scotch bonnet peppers consistently year round. So we're actually working with a hydroponic farm in Wilmington, Delaware, to have them grow the Scotch bonnets for us.
Oh my God. Oh, my heart. You're making me feel so good, because nothing makes me more mad than when I'll go somewhere and they say they have jerk chicken and it's been like in the oven. Doing it over the wood is the only way to do it. And by the sounds of it, you guys have hit it right on the head, and I'm kicking myself because I just drove from North Carolina back to Philadelphia today, and I sure as heck should have stopped.
stopped at this place
in Delaware.
I got one question.
Yeah,
chef.
Yeah, go for it.
How did it feel to beat Bobby Flay?
Oh, you beat Bobby Flay.
I'll tell you what. That's something that never gets old. It's super fun. I'd recommend it for anybody. If you want to have a good day, beat Bobby Flay.
Have a good day, beat Bobby Flay. I like that one.
It's super fun. You know, I was on Guys Grocery Games. I did 3 episodes of it. I will say that Guys Grocery Games is 100 times harder than I think anyone thinks that it is. But beating Bobby Flay is pretty cool. And it's been an opportunity that's afforded me the opportunity to do a lot of charity work locally and, you know, really take the restaurants that I was working with and really help them grow. I've been able to, in the pandemic, which is like weird to say this, but I've been able to actually, my personal businesses have grown enough that I left the restaurant company that I was working with to be fully self-employed in my own businesses.
That's wonderful.
But I wouldn't have been able to do that without Bobby Flay, so I have to thank him for that.
So what is the dish? Do you know, Don? What is the dish that you beat Bobby Flay with?
So it was shrimp scampi, which was the first sauté dish that I ever learned from my dad cooking. My dad was a chef, so we did a lot of grilling and a lot of baking and broiling, but not a lot of sautéing. So it's a dish that's near and dear to my heart. Now, I did a fancy full version of it for Beat Bobby Flay with toy box tomatoes, little garlic bread crumble on the top. I made handmade cavatelli pasta. Of course, it's no secret that Bobby's not really good with making pasta or dough on the fly. That's usually downfall. So I wanted to make pasta so that, you know, I was going to give myself as much of a leg up as I could. But it was a really cool experience. My mom was in the audience cheering me on. You know, he talked to her a little bit. So it was really cool thing, and that, like, the whole crew and everything was fantastic.
Well, that's just great. I mean, and especially the story behind it. I love that that's one of the first dishes that you and your father were working on that really makes it a full complete what would you say, from finish to end? I mean, you can't beat an experience like that. That's a once in a lifetime thing. So we want to.
It's fun because my dad's one of the old school guys that that had a thing where he didn't really care for Bobby too much. And my dad's no longer with us, but when I got to call Dad and tell him that I beat Bobby Flay, his response was, "Of course you did."
Well, let me put it to you this way: you beat Bobby Flay, but you're beating a lot of other chefs out there too, especially with the hard work and the success that you have built up with Full Circle Food. I can't wait to see the expansion of the menu and the delivery with that and Great Big Jerk. I mean, you hit the nail right on the head a million times with the way that you're preparing and serving the jerk chicken. It's the only way to do it, and that's why you're so successful. Thank you so much for joining us, Chef Robbie Jester. Please stay in touch and share any social medias or anything like that, websites or anything like that before you go.
Yeah, so you can find me at Robbie_Jester, and I have all of my links for the restaurants, but Full Circle Food is on Instagram at Full Circle Food. A Great Big Jerk is Great Big Jerk Co. On Instagram. You can watch the food. We have funny little segments for Great Big Jerk where we film me or my business partner outside smoking, making funny voices. The only thing that ever stops us is if they're lightning, so we're out here smoking in the snow and the rain and everything else. So, yeah, follow me on social media. Thank you guys so much for having me on. I appreciate it. It was fun.
It was our pleasure. Have a great night.
It was a pleasure.
Have an awesome night, guys. Thank you.
You too.
So, talking about someone who's beat Bobby Flay, he's been on Guy Fieri three different times, the Food Network. We're going to change course a little bit, and let's see. Are you ready, Don? Did you like that?
I like that.
Oh, see, if you think that was a good singing voice, you're really going to love our next guest. Now, she has a wonderful voice, and that would be Amelia Meath. She is a songwriter, musician, and home cook. She's part of the wildly successful musical duo Sylvan Esso with Nick Sanborn. But most importantly, she's teamed up with the Jewish Family and Children's Service of Greater Philadelphia's Nourishing Community Events. And that's what she's joining us tonight to talk about, Don. She's sharing her time to help the community, and she's going to be one of the stars of one of the virtual events that they're holding. How's it going tonight, Amelia?
It's great. Thanks so much for having me, guys. I really appreciate being here.
It is.
I'm so excited to talk to you about the virtual.
Oh, it is our pleasure. Yeah. So, as you mentioned, you are going to be preparing borscht. It's on Tuesday, April 27th at 6:30 p.m. We want to make sure that everyone contacts the JFCS. You have to register. Registration is required to attend the virtual event, and you'll get a Zoom link once you're registered. But why don't you tell us about this dish? Why is it important to you? How is it that you are a go-to authority for this dish?
Oh my gosh. I think I started making borscht right when I was in college in my dorm. It was something that my mom had made. And I've slowly become known for it among my group of friends. Every time I get home from tour, usually, like when you come home from, you know, like a 2 month long tour, you usually take like a week or two to just hang out on the couch and eat food. Mm-hmm. And during that time, I always make borscht. Also, like regardless of the weather, which doesn't sound that good, but it's wonderful.
So I don't want you to delve into all of your secrets, because obviously we want everyone to purchase the link on Tuesday, April 27th, because you're going to go from A to Z of what's going on. But could you share maybe one of the ingredients of yours that makes it so special?
I mean, beef short ribs are the real winner.
Oh, how could you go wrong with those?
Can't imagine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're heaven.
Especially when you have a good one and it's cooked just properly, which I know you do it every single time, and that short rib just melts in your mouth when it's a good short rib.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's the absolute truth. I have one of the best butchers out here in North Carolina in Saxbaugh, the Saxbaugh butcher, and they have the best short ribs I've found so far.
Oh, that is so great. That is so great. I mentioned to our previous guest, I just left North Carolina and came all the way to Philadelphia for the show, and beautiful, beautiful state they have there. I was through Asheville and a bunch of other locations. So have, like you said, I don't know if you're in a mountain region in North Carolina, but to have a dish like borscht, to have the wonderful landscape views, I could just imagine sitting on a front porch or back porch and enjoying a beautiful Porsche.
Mm-hmm. It's really fun. I kind of think about it like bringing the north to the south.
Yeah.
I'm originally from Massachusetts, where the cold weather is, so yeah, I love it.
And it can get cold there, can it?
Yeah, it's really true. I live in Durham, North Carolina, where the food scene is just absolutely blowing up out here. Even amidst COVID, there are so many incredible restaurants, and the culture between musicians and chefs is just absolutely flourishing out here. It's really great. Have y'all ever been to the restaurants in Durham?
It's been quite a few years since I've been down there, and I know, I mean, and when I say a few years, I mean, it was in like Michael Jordan's crazed heyday. So it's been a while.
Yeah.
But now, what, being a musician, traveling all around like you do, what would you say is one of the best food areas that you look forward to when you see it on the itinerary when you're traveling?
Oh my gosh. Well, at this point, I kind of have a food routine in almost every city in America.
Nice. You sound like me.
True.
And Don.
Yeah. I've been to them all so much, and in pretty much every place I have like a coffee shop and a sandwich place and a dinner zone. So for like in LA, I always try to make it to Cantor's, even though I don't think their batting average is way down, but I still have to just go and be bathed in the light of Cantor's. And then for dinner, I always go to Night Market Song on Sunset. Have y'all ever been there?
No, I've never been there, but Cantor's, like you said, I mean, that's a legendary location.
Exactly. You got to go. And Night Market Song is some of the most pleasantly aggressive, spicy Thai street food I've ever had in my life. And I dream about it.
Oh.
They also have...
You're speaking my language, because when you say...
Yeah, exactly.
When you say Thai street food, have you ever been to Thailand?
I have.
So you've probably experienced the same thing that I have and my wife, because the first time I went to Thailand, I was with my wife, and both of us, we looked at each other when we were enjoying a meal one time in Thailand, and we said, I have flavor explosions, and literally explosions in my mouth, flavor explosions that I've never experienced before. And that's what a good... authentic Thai street Thai food does for you, and you can't get that anywhere else.
That is the absolute truth. This place, Night Market Song, is the closest that I have gotten to what I experienced in Bangkok. It is truly, it's a high unlike no other. It's so good.
I'm going to have to go to LA now. And our next guest, Sebastian Joseph Day, he's with the Los Angeles Rams. His whole show, Dine and Bash, is about dining in Los Angeles. So I'm going to have to make sure I talk to him about it. I'm sure he knows about that location as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
But we could just talk for days and days and days of different cities and countries and food locations. But let's just veer back for a couple minutes, because I want to talk some more about the JFCS's mission, because what you're doing here, and I have to applaud you, is food insecurity across the country is at an all-time high, unfortunately, because of the pandemic and the way the economy is. And you are one of a few participating individuals giving an opportunity to come together in a fun and engaging way to raise much needed dollars for the JFCS's food relief efforts to support the most vulnerable people in the region. So I want to thank you for that first and foremost. I mean, this is something that you don't have to do, and you are going out of your way in order, as they like they've mentioned, in a nice, fun way to help other individuals. So thank you for that from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, you are very welcome. I believe food is necessary, but it is also a wonderful, easy bringer of joy into people's lives. And I believe everyone deserves food and everyone deserves joy. We can hit two birds with one stone.
Without a doubt. And also, I believe the session or the video will be, it's an hour, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. We'll tune in. And you're going to start, you're going to take us from A all the way through Z with the dish. And we will see the final presentation before we leave for the night. Isn't that correct?
Indeed. That is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm. And this is one of those times that I wish that virtual reality where you could actually smell and taste things online, because that's what I would want, Don. Wouldn't you love to have like Amelia go through with the entire presentation and then she's done?
And then she hands it to you. There
virtually. It comes.
It's yours.
Or at least virtually, that you could like just virtually smell it or something like that. I'm sure in 10 years we'll have that sort of technology, but that would just be amazing if that could happen.
Oh, yeah. We'll bring back the original smell-o-vision technology, but in full force.
So, besides, as we were saying, Borscht, how did you become such a foodie / home cook? I mean, because obviously, I would say the majority of people know you because of your music, but I can say that I was surprised when I saw your name on the list of individuals coming for the cooking presentation.
Oh, thank you. I come from a family of cooks. My mom and my sister ran a general store and restaurant in Harrisville, New Hampshire. And my mom worked in Eugene as a pastry chef for years and years. So I've been surrounded by a culture of food for my whole life.
That is awesome. And to have a mother be a pastry chef, that you can't beat that, Don, can you?
No, you cannot.
I mean, birthday parties, those cakes were probably huge. Way better than everybody else's in the neighborhood.
Oh, it was beautiful. She used to let me invite my friends over, and she would make those beautiful shoe paste swans when I was like 4 or 5. Just the most fun toys to play with, and then you get to eat them.
Oh, man. So what is your favorite pastry? Because obviously you've had to have every pastry under the sun.
Oh boy. Right now, I think I would say a gougère. Those are my absolute favorite. But also here in Durham, we have a place called Loaf, and they make really just, I'm kind of a pastries basics guy. I really just love a good, perfectly laminated croissant. And we have them in Durham.
Nice.
In fact, I'm completely addicted to them. And now with asparagus season, they make like an asparagus croissant with Gruyere cheese that will just actually knock your socks off.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm trying not to eat those every morning.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm going to have to drive all the way back down to North Carolina, Don, after the show.
I'll keep you awake. I'll keep you awake while you're driving.
So, but here's the most important question of the night to finish. So we'll spend an hour with you. We'll make the borscht, and obviously we're going to want to dig in and eat it immediately. What song of yours should we enjoy while we dine?
Oh, boy. I think you should probably just listen to my whole latest record. It's called Free Love. It came out back in September, and it is a record full of short songs. So I think it'll probably last you for a full meal.
Oh, perfect. So that's the setup. That's the setup for the night, Don, on Tuesday, April 27th, 6:30 p.m., benefiting the Jewish Family and Children's Services of Greater Philadelphia's Nourishing Community event. We're going to have Amelia Meath show us how to make the perfect borscht. We're going to enjoy it, and we're going to listen to her album, Free Love. That sounds like a perfect night to me. How about you, Don?
Sounds like a good date night.
For me and you.
Date night with Derek.
There you go. Thank you so much, Amelia. It was such a joy talking to you. And please share any social media website links or anything like that before you go.
Oh, sure. You can follow me at Sylvanesso, S-Y-L-V-A-N-E-S-S-O, on all of the platforms. You can also follow my personal accounts, which is A. Randall M. on all of those social media things.
Perfect.
You can get band updates and my various projects.
Awesome. And I have one last. What was the name of the Thai place in Los Angeles? Because I'm going to make sure I ask our next guest. What was it again?
Night Market Song.
Okay. Well, I'm going to make sure I'm going to make sure we ask about that. And thank you so much. I'm making sure I go over there because it's a hike to get to Bangkok, but I can handle LA. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. All right. Bye, y'all. Thanks so much.
Have a great night. Bye bye. And as we were mentioning, we have our next guest with us, Don, and that would be Sebastian Joseph Day. He's a starting nose tackle for the Los Angeles Rams, and his latest project is Dine and Bash. It's a digital series about his love of food and culture. It airs on YouTube and highlights local restaurants in the Los Angeles area, which, I mean, you can't go wrong with there. How's it going tonight, Sebastian?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing today?
We are doing fantastic. Fabulous. So we're going to kick things off because our previous guest, Amelia Meath of Sylvanesso, she was talking about her favorite dining locations while she's in Los Angeles, while she's on tour. Of course, it was Cantor's Deli, which everyone knows about Cantor's. But she mentioned the Night Song in Los Angeles. She said it's a Thai street Thai food night market song. Have you heard of this?
No, I have not, but I'm definitely gonna have to, I'm gonna have to add that for season two of Dine and Bash for sure.
Without a doubt, because me and her were talking about our love of when we visited Thailand, and when you go to Thailand, you're gonna have experiences of flavors in your mouth that you never thought possible. And she has said that this location in Los Angeles is the closest to actually visiting Thailand. So you better make sure you get that on season two. But before we get to season two, let's talk about season one and about yourself. So we've already covered that you're with the Los Angeles Rams playing in the NFL, but you've also got a food television program. How did you know that you were a foodie and everybody should be following you of what to eat around Los Angeles?
Well, so great question. Me growing up, both of my parents came from the country of Haiti to America. So they've always had a very good background with cooking. They've always used spices and unique things to cook. And I've always had eaten unique things growing up, and that's how my love of food came about. And obviously, going to school at Rutgers University, just being around great food. My dad worked in the city in New York, so I was always around great food. I always ate great food through my parents cooking to just my location of where my dad worked, always going to visit him and going out to dinner and lunch with him and stuff like that. So I've just been really, really cultured in that aspect of food, and I've always tried different foods too. I've never been the one to knock something down because it's different. So that's kind of how it came about.
Awesome. So you said that you attended Rutgers, New Brunswick, correct?
Yes, sir.
So here's a question for you, because I spent quite a bit of time in New Brunswick myself. Did you hear of a place or visit a place in New Brunswick called Pickin' Chicken? It was on George Street.
No, I did not. I did not go to a place called Pickin' Chicken. I went to the places I would go when I went to Rutgers was like Hansel and Griddle. There was a ton. Oh my God, Crispy's Pizza, Taqueria. There were so many places. But Pickin' Chicken, no, there wasn't no Pickin' Chickens there. I wish. That was really good though.
Well, it's the original Pickin' Chicken. I mean, it's been there for years, 30, 40, maybe even 50 years. It's 228 George Street, and it's about as bare bones as it comes. It's a little off the campus side, and it's just fried chicken and potato wedges. And when I tell you, oh my good, my cholesterol probably raised 200 points when I saw the year or two that I was up there. So if you ever visit your alma mater, you gotta make sure you.
I need to now. I'm disappointed that I've never been there.
See?
What in the world? I'm kind of sad now. What in the world? I went there for 4 years. I didn't hear my master's
there. See,
I honestly see everywhere in New Brunswick. So I was like, I thought I was gonna know the spot as soon as you said it. I'm kind of shocked. Dang, I definitely gotta go back now and try that.
See, you needed to talk to me 4 years ago, but you may not have made it in the NFL because you could have been practice. Nah, forget it. I'm gonna go have one more box of this Pickin' Chicken. We'll be good for today.
Yeah, I would have been rolling around in practice eating that all 4 years for sure.
So yeah, next time you're around, just Google it. It's called the original Pickin' Chicken in New Brunswick. You can thank me later. But
I'll be sure to.
Getting back to Los Angeles, as you said, obviously you're gearing up for season two of Dine and Bash. Mm-hmm. What were some of the highlights of season one?
You know, I think the highlights were honestly being able just to, I think, break that like third wall of these restaurants and actually know and get to tell the stories of the owners and how it came about, because you know everyone has a unique story. Everybody's gone through some type of adversity, and it's super cool to just be able to know how that store, that you know, franchise came about. You know what I'm saying? And being able to hear that and how the life and the grind and the process. So I think that's honestly been the best part about this, is just highlighting these owners, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
during a hard time of COVID-19.
Without a doubt. Because Don, you know how difficult it is during these times. So that's wonderful that you've been able to highlight that. Now, have you ever been to L.A., Don?
I've never been to L.A.
L.A., and I know Sebastian can agree with me on this, L.A. is so big and so diverse. I don't understand how they didn't break the city up into more sections, because literally you can have a different country in so many locations. The food is so different from one end of the city to the other. It's like night and day. And sometimes it does take you from night to day to travel from one side to the other.
Mm-hmm. Especially with that traffic, man. Oof. Mm-hmm. That traffic is no joke.
And what was it that drew you to, besides getting their stories, what drew you to really start exploring around Los Angeles? Because it can be intimidating to even start at ground zero, because you Google anything and you get a million searches on your phone. What was the first thing that you said, you know what, I really need to get out there myself and start exploring?
Yeah, no, that's a great question as well. So how that came about was, So I went to school, and I went to school for media relations and broadcasting and whatnot. So it was kind of an area that I did study. I studied obviously in college that I graduated with. So when it came down to picking the restaurants, like you said, there are so many great restaurants. What we did was obviously we wanted it to be unique, right? We wanted the restaurant to be unique and obviously have a unique kind of niche to it that I think a lot of people don't usually see. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it's easy to find a restaurant with cheeseburger that sells cheeseburgers, right? Mm-hmm. But we were trying to kind of just find a vibe that was different from the essence of the restaurant, like the inside of it, how they did things, what they made, their stories. You know, we just try to make it as interesting as possible, and we really took the time to really honestly do our research. The producer, Julian Pinnock's object, also my ex teammate at Rutgers. So him and I honestly put in a lot of hours, and it's so funny because even now, season two, you know, we go through lists right now of restaurants, and we're like, we look at their, you know, we do our research, we look at their Instagram, we look at photos, we look at this, we look at that, we look at the food, we do everything. And, you know, sometimes it's a split of hairs why we choose one over the other. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's honestly all just about positivity and, right, and just highlighting these amazing restaurant owners. So, yeah, that's kind of how we go about that. And we just kind of just, you know, do it. We try to kind of base it off all those qualities of great food, great ambiance, great vibes, and just a great story, you know?
I mean, and that's great. And you hit it right on the head. I mean, each episode is growing and you've really built a good franchise to go from here. And I want to say congratulations to that. It couldn't be better produced, and it fits nicely in the digital format that you put it out on. One thing that I would like to see, and I'll be a consultant for the show here, free of charge,
sure,
Don.
Sure.
Free of charge is, here's the show that I would just love to see is maybe season two, or maybe season two is probably already thought out because I know production and these sort of things go a year in advance. So we'll say season three for now. Season three, we follow you city to city while you're playing during the season. So if you've got 16, or I think the NFL just added an extra week, I think there's 17 weeks now, you could have a 17-week episode shot, and every week we get to see where you're at before game time. This way, say you come to Philadelphia, you go into some of Philadelphia's best places. Well, if you go to New York doesn't have any good places, as you know, Philadelphia. And go to Dallas doesn't have any good places. We're Eagles fans here, and you understand we can't talk good about any other towns that the Eagles play.
No, I get it. And it's actually funny that you say that, because we actually have discussed that. We've discussed doing that this season and things like that. But it's funny. It's funny that you mentioned that, because we've talked about all this stuff with the future of Diamond Bash. We have a lot of ideas, a lot of great ideas, and a lot of great things coming up in season two. So it's funny that you mentioned that, because we definitely discussed that, and there's going to be a lot of things in the works for the future of Diamond Bash,
without a doubt. And it's unfortunate because of the circumstances now, but one of the things that would really be cool, say if things can go back to normal, would be like the tailgating, to go visit some of the tailgaters. Because I mean, Don, you know,
some of the fans, they have some setups out there that are incredible.
Good Lord. I mean,
like you're eating like in a 5-star restaurant in the middle of a parking lot.
I mean, you've been to Lincoln Financial Field many a times, and you go with these tailgaters, they're getting there almost at midnight the day before.
Yeah.
So, knock on wood, hopefully we'll be able to get to a little bit of normal, and then you'd really get to go out and get a vibe of local cuisines.
For sure, definitely. No, that would be awesome. It's just kind of hard because, you know, I'm playing right before that, so I don't know. That would be a little risque. but I think it's. But that's what's funny. That we were talking about. Like I said, we've talked about the first idea you said. We've actually discussed that, kind of putting in like something to make it more like in the moment, also high stakes, high reward type thing. And make it cool in that regard. So yeah, trust me, we have some ideas, man. I'm super excited, and I'm glad that you know you said it because we've actually discussed it, and trust me, stay tuned. We're gonna have some really cool interactive stuff that I think you guys will really enjoy.
We can't wait. And you mentioned that your parents are from Haiti. So I love all sorts of Caribbean style foods. What was your favorite dish that your parents prepared for you?
Oof, my favorite dish. Honestly, I don't have a favorite dish because everything they make is so good. But I'd say a Haitian dish that they'd make that I really enjoyed was probably be something called legume. So we call it legume, and what it is, it's a bunch of greens. So it's like collard greens, it would be like spinach, it would be a bunch of greens, like healthy greens. And what they do is they put it in a pot and they make it, and you add carrots to it, eggplant to it, a bunch of vegetables to it. And then you cook meat on the sides. So you could cook, you could do a chicken, cook chicken and chop that up. Or you could do oxtail and chop that up and then make that separate. You add it to the legume, then you make this nice bean sauce, type of bean sauce. You make it purely from the beans, you make it from scratch, some white rice or black rice, and then you put the rice down, the legume on top, and the bean sauce on top to finish it off with the oxtail or the chicken, whatever you want to make it with.
Oh.
And it is phenomenal. It is phenomenal, man. And it's super healthy as well. So, you know, growing up on that, you know, that's probably why I made it to the NFL. Shout out to my parents. So stuff like that, man. My parents, they are insane in the kitchen, man. I'm telling you, and a lot of credit Dinah Bash goes out to them. That's why, honestly, my palate, I've tasted so many unique foods, and they've opened up my palate to so many unique things. Like, you know, huge shout out to them for sure.
Well, without a doubt. And yeah, I mean, the flavor profiles of authentic Caribbean dishes, they're so diverse. And like you said, it's a lot of ingredients that you would think are, say, not really crazy, but once you're adding the little spice here and the little spice there, it really brings that profile out to an amazing combination. Wouldn't you agree, Don?
Yeah, it's simple food with the right spices. It's comfort food, if you want to call
it.
And
fresh.
It's fresh.
Yeah, I mean, that's the secret.
It's fresh. Yeah, and it's fresh. Exactly. It's comfort food, and it's fresh. And you know, my mom, I'm lucky enough, you know, my mom's really big on the organic space. So, cause you know, she's from the island. So like everything they grow is from the island. So everything is, you know, nothing, everything's not processed. So yeah, they do a really good job, you know, just keeping everything fresh, keeping it real authentic, real organic. And it's comfort food. Like you said, it's comfort food, man. It's healthy and it's not gonna kill you at all.
So what is your, like for me, when I travel around the world and even when I go out to eat, my go-to preference is Asian food of all sorts, Thai, okay. Korean, Japanese, Chinese, authentic Chinese. That's my go-to because for me personally, I don't have the skill set to recreate or make that dish, and it's something out of the ordinary for me. What is your go-to order-out dish or cuisine that you always find yourself gravitating to?
That's a great question. My go-to cuisine, honestly, it's funny. With me, when I go out, I always try to go somewhere new. Like, because that's my point. Like, so, like, I always try to go somewhere new, especially, like, since I've been out here.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much, like...
You could go out to eat every single day there, and you'll die before you visit every place.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, you could go out to eat, like, every weekend and, like, not... And not even touch the... Scratch the surface of L.A. and, like, the food we have here. So, like, I just try my best not to gravitate towards the same thing. But I'd probably say what I gravitate towards more. I mean, I wouldn't say I gravitate towards it more, but I do find myself eating Italian food a little bit.
Oh, Don just smiled from ear to ear.
That's good taste.
a little more than often, but to be honest, I try my best to be really diverse. I try to go, I try to hit different spots with different ethnicities, different types of cooking, different types of food, because that's just who I am. But you know, when I'm like not thinking about it, maybe I would say I'd go to I'd hit Italian spot maybe like one or two times more than a regular spot, but. Not purposely.
That's awesome. That's
probably
awesome.
Because of the Rutgers ties. You know?
But Sebastian, it was such a joy talking to you. I had a great time. And we can't wait until season 2. And if you're filming around any cities, you know, if you come to Philadelphia, feel free. Me and Don will be pleased to show you around our city of brotherly love and show you some real delicious food in Philadelphia. And we want you all continued success with the Los Angeles Rams and hope you nothing but winning records, except when you play the Philadelphia Eagles.
I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much for having me. It means a lot. God bless. And I wish you guys nothing but health, wealth, and happiness. God bless and have a good one. All right.
Thank you. Same to you. And feel free to share any social media or website before you go.
Yes, you could subscribe at Dine and Bash on YouTube, at Dine and the letter N, Bash, then Bash. And my Twitter is SJD_51. Follow Dine and Bash on Instagram. It's simple. It's the same thing. Dine_N_Bash. And that's really it.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Have a great night, pal.
All right, y'all. Have a great night. God bless.
You too. Bye-bye. That was fun, Don.
Yeah, L.A.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, I mean, you could eat out every single night for the rest of your life, and you still won't hit every restaurant.
Yeah, I've never been. I've been to San Diego. Oh, that's Sandy. Close.
Close.
Yeah.
Close.
I was there for the NRA.
San Diego. Oh, my goodness. That's such a lovely city, too. Weather all year round, perfect weather. Yeah. That's one of those locations where I don't think you have a bad day of bad weather.
No, not at all. I mean, I think California all together has great weather.
Yeah, but talking about things that are great, I'm going to talk to Chef Barbie Marshall. How's it going tonight, Chef Barbie?
Hey, things are going fantastic. How are you guys?
We are doing great. So what's hot and happening in your world?
So, I've been seeing a lot of cheesesteak talks in Philly, right? And I miss you guys. I really do. And so, I started working with this company, and one of our branches actually has a cheesesteak on their menu. And I told them to bring me one. And you know what? It didn't suck.
Wow.
I was, like, really surprised. Like, it was really, really close. The bread was really close. But they were, I had to tell them don't put peppers on it, but other than that, who said ooh? that was the truest ooh I could ever hear, right? Don't put peppers on my cheese.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, I do love, and I don't know where that comes from, because all around the world
It
says Philadelphia cheesesteak, authentic, and like, nobody having, I mean,
peppers.
I'll eat it, but that's not authentic.
Yeah.
No, it's not. And then they warned me. They were like, it's not authentic. We don't use the right cheese. And I was like, well, what cheese do you use? And they were like, white American. And I was like, you really think it's Liz, don't you? You really think it's Liz. The whole world really thinks it's Liz. That's what I want. It's either white American or provolone is what locals get. And they were like mind blown. Like, what?
They're like, what?
Yeah, I was never a big fan of Liz.
Never.
Yes.
I feel like Wiz is the touristy thing.
I agree. But like, I must just be a glutton for anything because I love it. I love it all. I'll eat it all. But
well, I mean, we do love our small bites.
Chef Barbie, oh, you make me blush. But it was so fun talking to you, and I'm glad to hear that you had a good incarnation of a cheesesteak, not in Philadelphia. So I look forward to talking to you again next time.
All right, see you soon.
Have a good one.
Bye, Chef.
All right, Don, that was fun, buddy.
It sure was.
And why don't you kick it off?
My name is Donato Marino with DNL Coffee Service. You can find me on Facebook. Look me up. If you have any questions, post it, and I'll definitely respond within 24 hours.
Awesome. I'm Derek Tim of BlueJeanFood.com, and this is Small Bites on Sunday, 635.com. We're syndicated. Find us anywhere. We're going to end the show like we always do now with a healthy bite of the week from Chef Christina Martin and a joke of the week from legendary joke teller Jackie the Joke Man Martlin.
Hi, this is Chef Christina for Small Bites with your healthy bite of the day. Reduce temptation. Fill your pantry with healthy options and leave the junk food at the grocery store. If you don't buy it, you won't be tempted to eat it every time you open your cabinet or fridge. And with all the farmers markets getting ready to open, there'll be plenty of local, seasonal, healthy fruits and veggies for you to choose from. And for more healthy eating and lifestyle tips, find me on Instagram at Chef Christina or join my new Facebook group, Healthy Bites at the Jersey Shore. See you there.
I'm Jackie Martling for Small Bites. A slice of pizza's in a stomach waiting to be digested when a shot of whiskey washes past them. A few minutes later, a double shot of whiskey goes by. A few minutes later, a shot of tequila goes flying by. The piece of pizza says to the shot of tequila, "Hey, what's going on up there?" The shot of tequila says, "Oh, they're having a really great party." The piece of pizza says, "Oh, yeah? I think I'll go up and have a look." Yeah.